Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Las Vegas Metro Chamber. On the broadcast today, Steve Yeager. He's the chairman of Assembly Judiciary, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The holidays are upon us, a time of celebration, family gathering, and gratitude. There are gifts to be wrapped, feasts prepared, love shared, and memories made. Life is precious, so let us cherish each other and all that we have. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We thank you for letting us enrich your lives, and thank you for your support throughout the year. Happy holidays.
RANNV.org.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, pleased to be coming to you once again from the Las Vegas Metro Chamber. Thanks to Mary Beth Seawald and the entire staff here for hosting us. And we are delighted to welcome our first guest, and that is Assemblyman Steve Yeager, Chair of Assembly Judiciary. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Sam. I appreciate you asking me to be here today. And like you, I want to thank the Chamber for hosting us, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
We did indeed. Now let's get to business here. So criminal justice reform obviously was your big bill through the legislature. Getting anything through the legislature is a victory. What do you think were the most successful parts, the things that you were happy about that made it, and then what are you upset about that didn't make it?
Well, as you noted, the criminal justice reform bill we passed was monumental. I mean, we have not done anything as comprehensive in decades in our state. So I was very pleased that we were able to get it through the session. It does a whole lot of things, but I think probably the most important things that the bill does is it tries to shift from incarceration to treatment. So we're trying to do a better job of figuring out who really needs to be in prison. And for those that don't need to be in prison, let's try to get them some treatment, whether it's mental health treatment, whether it's substance abuse treatment, with the goal of saying, one, they don't have to be in prison, and two, we can protect the public, because if we solve some of those problems that drive people to crime, that means we're going to be fewer victims in the future. And that's very important. So I think that philosophical shift that happened in the bill, of doing a better job of supervising people in the community, is really, really significant. In addition, we looked at our criminal code, and I think we figured out that some of our criminal offenses were just overly punitive compared to what the conduct was. So, you know, the legislative process is always a push and pull, a give and take. So the bill changed a lot from when it was introduced. That's to be expected. But I think overall, those changes are going to increase public safety. They're going to make some of our criminal defendants better citizens going forward, and we're going to save the state money in incarceration costs. So those are the good points. Now, a couple of things that I think we still have yet to address. The drug crimes, I think, need to be looked at. The drugs statutes that we had before this bill passed were flawed. The ones in this bill are probably still flawed. So what I would like to see happen and what I think is going to happen in the future is we're going to try to look at specific drugs and levels and what those quantities mean and try to come up with a system where we don't treat all drugs the same, because not all drugs are the same. Our sentencing commission will be looking at that over the next few years. So I think down the road you'll see some movement there. And I also think I would love to see some diversion programs be put into place. And when I say diversion, that means for those first-time offenders, nonviolent, that we give them a chance to just get out of the criminal justice system, to not have to have a conviction on their record, that if they do a series of things that the court structures or the district attorney structures, that the case would simply be dismissed. That concept was part of the bill, but ultimately didn't make it cross the finish line.
All right, so let's dig a little deeper into some of these things. So do you feel that the state has fundamentally changed as far as the legislature is concerned from the era of three strikes and you're out?
I think so, and it's been a long time coming. Nevada was not at the forefront of this movement. Other states were, and typically conservative states. But you know, I think what you saw is over the past 20 or 30 years, every single budget cycle, you saw an increase in corrections, you saw an increase in police budgets, and that was true even when the economy was bad. And I think in a time where we're always looking to stretch dollars further, the state has finally said, wait a second, are we actually getting the bang for our buck in incarceration? Are we solving the problem? And I think the answer was no. So the state now, I think, finally has started to look in a new direction, which is we need to do this better. Our taxpayers deserve better. And so here we are, and I think without that philosophical change, there's no way we would have gotten this bill through. This was a 170-page, multi-section bill that if you would have said 10 years ago that Nevada would do this, I probably would have laughed at you because I never would have thought it was possible. So the change in the legislature, the change in the executive branch, and the change in shifting opinions about our criminal justice system has really led us to where we are.
In this legislative session, what kind of get from the prison union?
We didn't really get too much pushback from the prison unions. I mean, I think the prisons in and of themselves and those who work in the prisons, I mean, they have an incentive to make sure that people aren't coming back into their door. Obviously, they're worried about their own safety and staffing, but I think the philosophical changes the bill made really are ones that are agreed upon by most people. Where we have disagreements are maybe on the margins, but the Department of Corrections, under the direction of then-director James Zarenda, was very reform-minded in terms of having to do this better, and I think they realize they have a role to play that for those who do go to prison, we can't just release them to the streets, give them $5 and a bus pass, and think they're going to be okay. The planning for release has to happen a lot earlier in the process, and I think that's where the prison really stepped in, and they continue to step in, even to today, to get ready for implementation of this bill.
All right, let's take a break. Call with Assemblyman and Yeager when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the chairman of Assembly Judiciary, Steve Yeager. So when we left off in the last segment, you were talking about how we deal with people leaving prison. And it seems to me that, you know, over the years, we have done a terrible job all across this country of setting people up to fail because mm-hmm. we take care of the punishment, but not getting people back into society. So what are the changes that we've seen because of this bill?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, we call it the Department of Corrections, but there wasn't really a philosophy to correct any behavior. It was a philosophy to incarcerate. So this bill takes a new look at this, and what it says is, you know, 6 months before someone's going to be released, the Department of Corrections, working with parole and probation, who will be the supervising entity if the person makes parole, they have to start working on a release plan 6 months ahead of time. Where's the person going to live? What kind of stability do they need in the community? Can we find them a place to live? What kind of treatment are they going to need? Are they going to need to see doctors? Do they need to have Medicaid, Medicare? These are really important things because what we found out through studies is that when someone gets released, if two things are in place, they're likely going to be successful. And those two things are a place to live, which can be difficult if you're a convicted felon, and a job. If you have those two things in life, your chances of success go way up. And success means you're a productive member of society and you're not reoffending, meaning you're not victimizing somebody. So, you know, when we talk about these things, of course, there are resources involved. But we do save money in the long run because people aren't coming back into the system. We don't have the cost associated with victimization, law enforcement. So this bill really instructs both the Department of Corrections and parole and probation to start working on that process much earlier than it happens now.
How are the district attorney's offices with this?
You know, district attorney's offices, one, I'll say they participated in good faith in working on this bill. I probably had more meetings on this bill and spent more time on this bill than anything I've ever worked on in maybe my entire life.
Right.
And they were always there every step of the way, so I want to give them credit for that. That being said, there was certainly some pushback from district attorneys. I think that's to be expected. I mean, they're on the front lines of prosecuting some of this crime, and I think, you know, they want to have every tool at their disposal in the criminal justice system. So there was some pushback on some of the changes that we were trying to make. At the end of the day, I think we came up with something that everyone can live with. We're anxious to implement it. And I think if we do that right, then we're going to see that crime goes down, recidivism goes down, and I don't care who you are. That's something that's important and that you should care about.
Absolutely. Let's talk about drugs, and especially marijuana, and penalties for situations that one might find oneself in. And it's so amazing. In the last couple of years now, I've just been traveling in California, now in Nevada. There's nowhere you can't go that you do not smell the odor of marijuana mm-hmm. at this point. So obviously it has now become totally enmeshed in our society. Have we found anywhere to be able to look at and say, okay, they figured out what intoxication is versus just merely taking this drug so that we can police it?
Well, you ask a great question, and we could probably spend the entire week of shows on this topic. And I think the answer is we're not quite there yet. I'm chairing a study that's happening in the interim, this coming interim, we're going to start in January, looking at this question when it comes to driving. When are you impaired? And so a couple things that we've learned. Michigan just looked at this issue and did a pretty comprehensive look at it, and they essentially decided that there is no specific number in your blood or in your urine that really shows impairment, that it's more of an individualized assessment because marijuana just reacts very differently in the body and in the blood than alcohol does. So I think the short answer is we don't have a number. There's not sort of a magic test we can do. But as a state, we're going to be looking at our laws, which I think are based on antiquated or non-existent science, and deciding whether we should make some changes. And so this doesn't matter just for driving. It matters for employment. It matters for workers' compensation. It's an important question that we're going to have to try to figure out in the interim.
And also, I mean, you know, because the federal government still has its situation as far as the legality, does this preclude UNLV or UNR, for example, from setting up studying programs because they take federal monies and therefore they've got that conflict?
Mostly, yes. I did have a very productive meeting with folks at UNLV, with Senator Dallas Harris, who is on my study committee, and we talked about this issue. So it turns out there's a couple people that are authorized by the federal government to do research on Schedule I substances. We have at least one of them at UNLV, and there may be others who are going to get licensed. But here's the problem with it. They're limited to studying the marijuana that is actually grown by the federal government.
No, because this is the weakest marijuana on the planet, according to my sources.
This is grown in Mississippi in a farm, and it's not the same stuff that you can buy in our dispensaries
here.
It's
a joke by comparison.
If they want to do a controlled study where they provide the substance, they have to use the Mississippi federal government grown marijuana. If they want to do a study on ours here, they can do it, but it's a little harder for them. They can't bring it into the lab, so it's more of a situation where the user has to sort of do what they're going to do and then tell the researcher, I ingested this, I did this, and they can do the testing after that. So until the federal government really reschedules it or says for the purposes of research it's not a Schedule I, I think we're going to be fairly limited in what we can do research-wise if we want to use the products that are actually being sold in our state.
Have you talked to our senators and our congressional delegation about this? Because, you know, they're working on the banking situation, and our state treasurer has come up with a plan that seems to be helping in that direction. Some of these dispensaries now take ATM cards, so that whole cash component is going away. Do you see research being something else that gets opened up?
I mean, I have talked to the federal delegation, and I think by and large they are supportive of this as well. It's just a question of what's going to get done in Washington, D.C. My prediction is between now and next election, probably nothing's going to get done, but you know, we'll see what happens in the elections in 2020. And I think this really does make a lot of sense. I mean, we should want to have this research done like we've had done with alcohol.
Okay, so you're the head of this committee that's studying all of this. At the same time, what it's done is put smoking lounges on the back burner, if you'll pardon the pun. But that seems ridiculous when we're selling millions of dollars worth of marijuana, and people are legally able to consume this, but they don't have a place to do it, so therefore they're doing it wherever they want to do it. So you're not supposed to do it in hotel rooms, they're doing it in hotel rooms. You're not supposed to do it on the street, they're doing it on the street. Why did we end up with this huge delay?
Well, I think we ended up with it just because, you know, this is one of the constraints of a 120-day session. With all that we had going on in the building, I don't know that we could have come up with a good workable solution that could have gotten the votes necessary to advance that through the legislature.
Did you talk to Tick Sagerblum about this?
I did. Yeah, Tick and I talked quite frequently.
And, I'm sure you did.
He is a very strong proponent of consumption lounges. Now, you know, you're right that any sort of state-licensed place cannot operate a consumption lounge, but as you may know, you know, we don't have jurisdiction over tribal, the tribes. So there is a consumption lounge that's being operated by Nuwu, close to downtown off Las Vegas Boulevard. So they are up and running because they're not subject to the same statutory restrictions. So I think all of us are looking at that model to see, you know, because we do have one here. It's just not a state licensed, state sanctioned consumption lounge. But I think if they're able to get it right over the next year and show that they can do this in a responsible way, that's going to be a great model for the state to be able to authorize and launch.
And is the state doing a study along with this tribal group, so that we can actually learn? Because, you know, California, as Tika said, California is operating these lounges with, it appears, very little problem.
I think that's right, although the California model is somewhat different because most of their consumption lounges are part of dispensaries, and our ballot initiative passed by the people basically said you can't consume where the product is purchased, so there's a bit of a restriction there. That could obviously be changed, but you know, I just think the real impetus here is to make sure we get it right, and where are we going to put these, and what's the transportation plan going to be, and I think we just couldn't quite get there during session, but I'm pretty confident that the new Cannabis Compliance Board with looking at Nuwu's operation, with looking at the California operations, is going to be able to come up with a framework that works for Nevada, because you're right, our millions and millions of tourists, they're going to consume, we know that. So it's a question of, do we provide a space for that, or do we just let them consume wherever they want, which comes with other problems.
And I will say to you, and this is my statement, that the best consumption lounges, once it's legalized federally, will be at hotel casinos, and they will be right next door to the buffet. Let's take a break. More with the Assemblyman and Chair of Assembly Judiciary when we come back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything. From wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Chairman of Assembly Judiciary, Steve Yeager. Well, it's presidential season, you may have noticed. Endorsements are rather important. Have you decided on a choice for endorsing in this primary field?
I have not. I think I've been asked by every campaign. I will say it's really exciting to have all these presidential candidates here, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, to have this attention in Nevada. And it's almost overwhelming in a sense that it seems like every week, every candidate's here and they're doing multiple events. So I'd like to go to all of them, but I have a real job as well. So obviously I haven't been able to do that. But, you know, I've just been really impressed by the focus by the candidates.
Do you got a top three?
I don't know. It just depends. I mean, if you ask me today, like my top three today is probably different from last week. You know, I think Joe Biden obviously is a force to be reckoned with and looks to be at the head of the polls right now. But, you know, I have some really people I really care about who are working on the Elizabeth Warren campaign and those on the Kamala Harris campaign. I saw Mayor Pete give a speech that I thought was one of the best speeches I've ever seen. And I think the question is, you know, how is this all going to play out? Because for those of us in the political world, we care a lot about this. But I think the general population as a whole is just starting to sort of get into this. I mean, it's really early.
No. You're wrong. You're wrong. This has become the biggest entertainment it was of the summer and now going into the winter. Politics as entertainment is huge. There is nobody that think about the impeachment hearings, the impeachment inquiry, not even an impeachment hearing, really. And, you know, as much as one might try to get away from it, read about it, and then not think about it, everywhere you go, no matter who you're talking to, the person serving you a cup of coffee, the person taking out your garbage, they're all watching. The lady at the post office who fills the boxes.
I think that's right, but if you were to ask most of the Democratic voters in my district right now, who are you going to be supporting in the caucus, I think probably 80% to 90% are still undecided.
They would say that because they would not have a clue what the caucus was, the majority of them.
Maybe true.
But they would know who the characters are, and they would know about Medicare for all. They would know about these other things. I mean, you know, Senator Reid and President Obama have both said, hey, you know, maybe we need to be a little bit more centrist. You've got Mike Bloomberg coming in, another billionaire, saying, you know, this climate is a little crazy.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, is part of the problem that the Democrats are just pushing so far to the left that they'll have difficulty coming back to a more central position and give the current president more ammunition to go after, in quotes, the crazy Democrats?
Well, I think that's always always an issue on both sides, right? I mean, the further you sort of move to the extremes to try to win a primary, the harder it is to perhaps message to the middle of the country. So, but you know, these are smart people working on these campaigns and smart candidates, so they'll have to figure out how to thread that needle. And, you know, I've certainly had to figure out how to thread that in my own elections. But, you know, I'm excited about what's going to happen. And to be honest, I just don't know who I'm going to support, and I may not know until I walk into caucus in February.
All right, last question. You recently visited all of Nevada's 22 state parks over a 9-week period. What is the state of the park system? What did you learn? And do you plan on sponsoring any legislation coming up in the next session? And you've got a minute.
So I'll tell you this. If you have not been to our state parks, go. I did not know what I was missing. I did some legislation the last two sessions to try to help get kids out to our state parks. And then I realized, you know what? I haven't been to a lot of these state parks. So I made it a mission to go to every single one of them, which I did. And man, some of them are amazing. Cave Lake up in Ely. Cathedral Gorge up in Lincoln County, Valley of Fire, which is an hour away, just absolutely amazing. So be sure to go if you haven't. I would love to continue to work on legislation to get kids outside, to get them off of their smartphones and away from computers. I think being outside helps us in a lot of ways, helps our mental health, and then also helps connect us to the environment that we live in. So we'll see. I'd like to continue to get kids outside, and I'll be going back to a lot of these parks on a regular basis.
Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com, or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.